What do you do when you need an eardrop and the patient does not have an intact tympanic membrane? Hello and welcome to this week's Urgent Bite, brought to you by the Royal New Zealand College of Urgent Care. My name is Guy Melrose, and today I want to talk about a question to which I struggle to find a satisfactory answer. Eardrops are often preferred to oral antibiotics for otitis externa or otorrhea in the presence of tympanostomy tubes or perforation. For otitis externa, BPAC recommend Locortin, Sofradex or Ciproxin HC drops. Now, a quick look at the New Zealand formulary, MIMS or the New Zealand data sheets for these drops, and you will quickly find the same thing. They are contraindicated in the presence of tympanic membrane rupture. This is due to the risk of ototoxicity associated with aminoglycosides, and as such, ciprofloxacin drops are the only eardrops considered to be non-ototoxic. Here in New Zealand, these come in the form of the eyedrop Siloxin, and they are only funded as a second-line treatment for chronic suppurative otitis media. So patients must pay unless you endorse the script accordingly. But what do you use as a first-line treatment then? And if the only non-ototoxic drop is the second-line treatment, do you feel okay using a first-line drop? And patients with otitis externa and a perforation do not get funded ciprofloxacin drops. It's only for second-line chronic suppurative otitis media patients. There is a feeling that a short duration, say less than a week, reduces the risk of ototoxicity, and that has been the advice from ENT over the years. And indeed, to quote directly from BPAC's antibiotic guide, most topical antibacterials are contraindicated in the presence of a perforated drum or grommets. They may, however, be used with caution if cleansing of the ear canal alone has been unsuccessful in resolving symptoms. End quote. So how cautious are you when using eardrops? Practicing medicine often involves living with risk. Evaluating risk benefits takes place every time we prescribe a drug, perform a procedure, or advise a patient. We should use current best practice, along with local and international guidelines, and we should always inform our patients of inherent risks and ultimately come up with a shared decision on treatment. Whilst definitive guidelines are elusive, it would seem that eardrops are often used by ENT surgeons after grommet insertions, and yet for me, there is something about reading the words contraindicated that makes me feel uncertain. Whilst we do have access to the safe ciprofloxacin eye drops, unless we endorse the script as being second-line treatment for chronic suppurative otitis media, there is a cost to the patient, and that cost is often prohibitive for some families. So from a management point of view, I find referral for ear suction for patients with otitis externa is not only good first-line treatment, but also enables the establishment of an intact tympanic membrane, as usually there's too much debris to be certain. If it is intact, then we can treat according to BPAC guidelines without concern for ototoxicity. But I must say, in the presence of a tympanostomy tube or a visualised confirmed perforation, I usually seek the advice of an ENT specialist prior to starting treatment. As when the advice is caution, I see this as a cautious approach. Now, some of you might think that this is too cautious, but given ototoxicity can result in permanent hearing damage, and in the presence of a slew of listed contraindications, I tend to kick for touch and involve up-to-date specialist advice each time. Am I being a chicken? Maybe. But I'm not seeing these cases so often as to develop a feeling of comfort. Now, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this topic. How do you use eardrops in the presence of a perforated eardrum or a tympanostomy tube? Have any of you had cases of ototoxicity? Am I being overcautious and unduly worried? Let us know via Facebook or podcast at rnzcuc.org.nz. I'm attempting to get an ENT specialist to speak on the topic, and it's definitely something to revisit in a future podcast. But hearing your thoughts and feedback will help guide future discussions. Now we'll be back next week with episode 10 and another CME interview. I look forward to seeing you all then, but for now, thanks for listening.